I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Hello, Villa fans, and welcome to For the Love of Pomegranate podcast. And I was just saying to Paddy there off camera a moment ago, it's great to be doing these podcasts, I said, but in certain ways, I don't have anything to say when we come into match previews other than I hope Villa beat the living shite out of Chelsea. Oh, I was under the minute there before I swore. Don't come after me, YouTube, please. It was just exuberance is all that one was, but... yeah, that's kind of where I am at the moment. Is I just really hope Aston Villa beat Chelsea at the weekend, because I firmly believe that if they do, Paddy, we've got Champions League football. And I've literally just been shot out of a cannon straight away, because I've just completely finished the podcast in the space of a minute and 20 seconds.
Yeah, I think I've got the same opinion, and I've said it all along. Why are we only live for 11 seconds?
I know, we're live. Because, why are you watching on something else? Because it's a minute behind.
Okay.
On YouTube.
No, I'm watching it on the screen here with you live.
I know it says here a minute and 44 seconds on my end, so you're grand.
Okay. That's all right.
I know we had that false start last week.
I said it before and I'll say it again. After winning last weekend, I do believe that a win this weekend will all but guarantee Champions League football. I just can't envisage there's any way that Spurs are going to make up the ground that's needed with the fixtures they have. Plus, we have a couple of winnable fixtures in there still after this weekend. But as somebody said in the comment, and I've lost it, we have to take one at a time. So one game at a time, take this game in isolation and move on to Thursday, which is a completely different competition. And a win this weekend is huge, because it'll allow us to solely concentrate going into Thursday. And not have to think about Brighton, because we'll have the Friday, Saturday to work on Brighton and get the job done on Thursday. But gets this one out of the way, get the 3 points on the board, get the win, get 9 points ahead of Spurs before they play Arsenal on Sunday. Arsenal beat them Sunday. I think we're celebrating for the next couple of weeks. I don't like counting chickens. I'm trying to be real about it. You know I can be the most negative about these kind of things, but I truly believe this is the biggest opportunity we have to put the pressure on them. And I think 9 points at that stage will kind of leave them really out of the race. And look, they can still catch us at that race, but I just can't see it.
Yeah, and that's what I meant, I suppose, when I said at the very start that, you know, beat Chelsea and qualify for European football. That's what I mean. I'll be saying that next week as well. I'll be saying that the week after next. I'll be saying that the week after next, you know. It's you win your next game and you're closer to your to Champions League football. But as I said before, and I was probably said it to anyone who would listen outside the football ground last Sunday, you know, we're 6 points ahead of Spurs at the moment. Spurs still have Burnley and Sheffield United to play, who I would imagine that they will dispose of pretty easily. And that's those 6 points covered off. So realistically speaking, it's who can get the better results from Spurs playing against Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool and Man City, or us playing against Chelsea, Brighton, Liverpool and Crystal Palace. Now, there's tough games there. Like, I know Brighton are getting schooled at the moment against Man City, but many's a team has this year. So beat Chelsea puts us in a really, really good position. It really does. And it also then, if Spurs, we will all be watching from the side of my couch, I suppose, really, on the Sunday, the Spurs and Arsenal game. And if Spurs do not get 3 points there, well, then that's 100% 3 points gained from us. So it's a four-game mini shootout, I think. That's the way I see it over the course of the next few weeks. It's a four-game mini shootout. And if we keep on winning our games, Spurs cannot overtake us. That's my view on it at the minute.
I think if we won the next two games and they didn't beat Arsenal, it's guaranteed. Mathematically, it's guaranteed, isn't it?
It's not mathematically guaranteed because they would still obviously have Sheffield United and Burnley left to play as well, which would be, so they could still pick up 3 points. Like, they would still have three games to play, so it wouldn't be mathematically, no.
Or we'd be 12 points clear.
If we don't beat Brighton, they don't beat
Arsenal.
Yeah, it would come down to goal difference then.
And we're in a good spot with that.
We're in an okay spot. Yeah, we're in an okay spot from that point of view. I still think Spurs have an ace up their sleeve against one of those four teams, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea and Man City. So, you know, that's why I think that we would have to win two of our next four to be guaranteed.
Yeah. And we've, I know we've jumped the gun here because we're supposed to talk about Chelsea. But that Crystal Palace game has suddenly become a very big game as they're absolutely flying. So, we can't count any chickens going into the final game of the season.
Absolutely. Because
it's just mind-blowing what's happening here. So, as you say, they definitely have an ace up their sleeve. They will go and hurt someone. I do believe they'll hurt someone's title chase. I hope it's not Arsenal at the weekend because I want us just to stay as far ahead as we possibly can. So I'd rather see them go into the other games really trying to grind out results because that's going to make it even difficult for them. If we're running level pegging with us, it makes the games a little bit easier. But I just believe that us keeping and piling the pressure on and just get over the line Saturday. It doesn't matter how we do it. Same as I said the weekend, hit someone's arse in the 97 minute, beat Chelsea 1-0, snap your hands off. Someone there asked, would you take a draw? No, not right now. I wouldn't, because we're capable of beating Chelsea, and I can't have been the only one. I can't have been the only one last night that was willing Mark Cucurella not to get a second yellow card.
Oh yeah,
want him out of it.
Well, everybody who's ever listened to this podcast knows, and I hate saying it just before we play them, but I'll whisper it here because I will be saying it afterwards. I don't rate him. Never have. And he was linked with Villa spuriously during the week, and I certainly wasn't going doing a scouting. Was it this morning? Yeah. I certainly wasn't doing a scouting series on him because I like to try and keep those positive.
You can keep the scouting series to two words. He's shit.
Well, watch him have a stormer now at the weekend. But one thing I will say, Paddy, is though, look, as I say, we're coming across here as happy. I hope we're not coming across as cocky. And if there are any Chelsea fans watching this, I don't really care what you think, but I want to clarify. I'm not cocky for the weekend in any way, shape, or form, because the two games that we played against Chelsea, they've had our number so far. They've outworked us in midfield. Conor Gallagher has made us look very, very ordinary the whole way through. Moise Caicedo has saved some of his best form for us. And they've gotten the better of it. They've gotten the better of us, you know, and especially in that FA Cup game. So it's not a done thing. Now, they are going to be missing Enzo Fernandez, who likes to score wonderful free kicks against us as well. So that is That is one thing. But we have Dougie Luiz back. So they're missing their vaulted South American midfielder, and we have ours back. I think that's fantastic because, Paddy, what do you do with that midfield? Does Luiz come straight back in or not?
Well, this is a $6 million question. So if it's me, he comes back in and you move John McGinn. That's me picking the team here. But other people will say, how do you change a winning team like that? And you change a winning team like that because we're going to need to rotate on Thursday as well. And things will need to change up depending on how he chooses to go and play against Olympiacos, who will be no pushover either. So for me, it's player strongest team. And for me, the strongest team is to have Dougie Luiz in there and move McGinn further forward.
I would put Tielemans further forward. I put Tielemans up beside Watkins and say, go out there and play like you played at the weekend. Pretend you're in the six, yeah, except play up there and win every single ball back and slide, because it comes naturally to him to be able to slide passes through. But I would say, pretend you're like a six against Bournemouth and play in behind Watkins and win every single ball back. Make sure Conor Gallagher comes out of there needing 20 plasters on his toes, stand on his toes through the whole lot of the game. And I would do that. I would deploy him up there and say, I don't mind if you get outworked as he goes past you, but if he goes past you, make sure you nick him every single time. Slow him down. And that's the way I would do it, because whether it is Tielemans or whether it's McGinn, that's the way I would play it. Somebody has to go there. He saved his best football against us. And I saw people talking about English teams and stuff like that recently, and people were aghast at Conor Gallagher. Like, even Chelsea fans at the moment, some Chelsea fans turned on him recently and then turned back again on him and said he was the greatest thing since sliced bread. I think he's a pretty good footballer, and he's certainly played his best football, played some good football against us. So if we can keep him quiet, I think we can work against their back line. I've said this before as well. I think Ollie Watkins against Chalobah, De Sassi, Badashia, Thiago Silva, Mark Cucurella, I think Ollie Watkins works against every single one of those, regardless of what combination they put in there. I just think he does. And Leon Bailey and Morgan Rogers carrying the ball on the wings is a different prospect than it was in January when we last played him in the Cup. So was it January? I think it was January when we played him in the Cup. So it's going to be an interesting one. But I'm like you, Paddy. I think Douglas Luiz comes straight back in. You know, he just has to. He's a magic footballer. He's been brilliant for us.
I think at this stage you play your best team, and like, he's one of our candidates for player of the year. He has to be in the team. The biggest question I have is does he start Leon Bailey? Because I reckon Leon Bailey would tear Mark Cucurella apart and give him really something to go. He's not getting out of his own half of Leon Bailey in there, and you would have to think that would be in the mindset of the manager. Having watched him last night, he was absolutely abysmal. The two fullbacks I thought were very poor. We'd probably see
Mal Augusto, something cruel.
Cole Palmer would probably come back in after his illness. I'm presuming his illness is not going to last into the weekend, depending on what is wrong with him. Who knows at this stage? So there's too many passengers in that team, too many individuals that aren't linking up with other players. And you'd have to think we'd have enough in us to go and beat them. And that's not being cocky. That's just going on our form and the players we have at our disposal and players that are working well together. And I'm sure if you went back 18 months and put these two teams on the pitch, as Steven Gerrard says, you'd have to think Chelsea would come and wipe the floor with us. But that's not how it works in football. If you can't get teams to gel together, then they're not going to wipe the floor with anybody. So they got absolutely spanked last night. Was it last night? I think it was last night, was it?
Yeah, it was last night.
Yeah, and they'll be smarting. And that's my only worrying thing, is that they come out fighting tomorrow. So fingers crossed we get a foothold in the game and we inflict our game on them and make it difficult for them. And obviously, I hope that Cole Palmer doesn't make a recovery. And I mean that in the nicest possible way. He can recover on Monday, but for this weekend, just sit it out.
Yeah, look, if we look at Chelsea's recent form over the last six games, they have the same points total as Aston Villa. They have 11 points, 11 points each. They have a plus three goal difference. We have a plus three goal difference. But I think one of the biggest things here is they've conceded 14 goals. Now they scored 17, but like some of those games were wild. You know, some of those games were wild, and they were like that United game was wild. What other games did they play recently as well? Like against Newcastle was wild. They had 2-2 against Burnley. Yeah, the United
6-0 against Everton.
2-2, which 6-0 against Everton. Yeah, that was the one I was trying to think of. That was wild. Yeah. Like they drew 2-2 with Sheffield United. They drew 2-2 with Burnley in the middle of all that stuff. You know, and they seemed to be more potent at home as well. You know, of those games they played Newcastle at home, Burnley at home, Manchester United at home. Drew 2-2 with Sheffield United away, won 6-0 at against Everton at home, and then lost 5-0 away from home to Arsenal. So they've had some wild, wild games, you know. So their goal difference is a bit skewed. Like, I know they had a 6-0 win and a 5-0 loss. Like, that just goes to show how Jekyll and Hyde this team is. 6-0 win against Everton, who then go out and beat Liverpool 2-0 last night. You know, the Premier League is a fantastic beast when it gets stuff like this. So, they are, while their points total is very good, you know, you have to take everything in context, and they're coming away to play against Aston Villa away at home. Like, you take our totals in the meantime, 1-1 draw at West Ham. Okay, we kind of got out of jail with Nicolas Zaniolo, unbelievable finish, which I still talk about. That goal doesn't get enough credit. Then we had 2-0 win against Wolves at home. We lost 4-1 away at Man City. We drew 3-3 with Brentford. We won 2-0 away at Arsenal, and we beat Bournemouth 3-1 at home at the weekend. So, you know, we've had more measured results, barring the Man City result, I suppose, as well. We dug out results against West Ham, and we dug out a result against Brentford as well, even though we were leading in that game. So, yeah, I think sometimes you can look at the form book and you can say, oh, they're in the same form. They have the same amount of goal difference. They have the same points won. But like, it's the chaos that's followed Chelsea around the place that has a predictable unpredictability about it, if that makes sense. Whereas we're a small bit more predictable. You know, you come to Villa Park and the Flares are going to be going again tomorrow night. If I remember rightly, I saw something up today. Half six outside the ground is where they want people to be. That under lights is going to look... tomorrow night and Saturday night. It's going to look absolutely smashing. Outside the ground, I want another one of those photos of Emery coming in with his pull along bag at nighttime. I love that photograph. I love it. I'm going to get that one framed, I think, and put up somewhere. I just love that photo. I love that man. Love that man. But yeah, so underestimate Chelsea at your peril, but at the same time, have a relevant amount of confidence in our own ability that we can go there and get the job done should we go out and play. And we haven't played since last Saturday, and they're coming off, as I said, they're coming off a Tonkin only last night. So there'll be 3 days coming off an absolute hiding. And I don't think that, like, with all the injuries that they have, they don't have a massive amount to play around with regards to swapping and changing around the team either. So those guys have to go and get up on the horse again 72 hours after playing. So that's in our favour too.
Yeah. I got that wrong, actually. It wasn't last night. It was the night before that Chelsea played. So they do have the extra day.
Wednesday night.
No. Tuesday, apparently. Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know my Tuesday's my way. No, well, I'm looking at it here. Arsenal 5, Chelsea 0 on the 24th of April.
Well, mine's just the 23rd. And someone in the comments says it was Tuesday.
I'm reading it backwards. 23rd of the 4th, 24. Yeah. Anyway, doesn't matter as shit. We're still going to go and beat them. Paddy, talk to me a small bit about, like, Chris Heck gave an interview today. Did you read it?
I listened to some of it.
I be honest with you, I've been under a rock with everything to do with that, with Chris. I know he's given an interview. I've seen some of the pieces with Villa Report. I didn't listen to it. I just haven't got around to doing it, to be honest with you. I've been flat out busy since we came back from Birmingham. Do you want to talk a small bit about it? What's your feelings on it? I've read loads on Twitter, obviously, about it, but I've not formulated my own opinion from what I've heard myself. So I'm a small bit of a dead duck in this conversation.
Yeah, I don't really have an opinion either, other than, you know, it what he said sounded positive. He didn't say anything too controversial or off the record or anything that we didn't know. You know, all our sponsorship deals are doubled. great plans ahead. Once the season tickets don't double, I think we'll all be okay. That's the next thing on the horizon that everyone is worried about and really, really worried about. So we can be pretty sure that there's going to be a hike in season ticket prices, especially if they don't release them till Champions League is confirmed. So there's a lot going on behind the scenes. He sounds really positive. He sounds really, I won't use the word cocky, but just seems to be proud of the achievements that he has done since he came in. So, look, regardless of what anyone's opinion of him is, he seems to be getting it right with and look, that's not to say we wouldn't have done well with sponsorship anyway, considering our current state of play on the pitch. That's the most important thing for putting money into the coffers. But the most important thing now is that we get what's on the pitch right. We get our job done and get over the line and get this fourth place. And then we can look forward to what's going to be an absolutely iconic season, our 150th year, our first year in the Champions League. Huge money coming in, both with sponsorship deals, prize money, TV money, all that kind of stuff. Absolutely phenomenal position to be in, and I'm glad we are in it. But yeah, not much to report on the bit that I saw. I imagine it was just a snippet of the rest of the interview, which I didn't get to watch.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, look, as I say, it's up to them to prove that they, like, it's up to them to put the money in the bank for us. And I'm always one of these people, I'm going to be really honest about it as well. Like, I've said this before. There's a lot of things that go on at Villa Park that I feel a small bit hypocritical having a massive, massive opinion on, because I'm having an opinion on it for somebody else. And what I mean by that is that I unfortunately can't go week in, week out. Now, one thing I can have an opinion on, and I'm going to, the reason I'll get back to what I was going to say there, is the ticketing system, the ticketing website today took an absolute dive in the middle of one of the most, I suppose, and probably the reason it took a dive because everybody wanted tickets for the Olympiacos game. But it took a dive at the wrong time. And those optics are wrong. And look, anything can happen and there can be mistakes made and there can be traffic issues and so on like that towards servers and all that. I completely get it. But stuff like that needs to be sorted out, is what I would say. Stuff like that does need to be sorted out. But going back to what I was saying there, is that sometimes, like, I have no problem with fans being up in arms about stuff if it's affecting them week in, week out, day in, day out. Sometimes I feel, and I can have empathy for everybody with regards to that when I discuss it from that point of view. But, you know, and I'm not taking the easy way out with regards to certain things here, but when I do talk about the club, I have to talk about it from what my viewpoint is, because it's my viewpoint. You know, I'm not living, my eyes aren't being used by anyone else, and I'm not living vicariously to anyone else. But I completely understand how everybody else is going through. So I do feel a bit fraudulent at times talking about this, and I am a bit, I am very much a case of, well, I can't really wait. Well, if the everything is doubled, it'll come out in the accounts. If we are going to add in another 1,000, I did read today, he said we're going to add another 1,000 or 1,500 seats. They're going to be premium seats and there's going to be different offerings. Well, great. Let me see what that is. And I'll get really excited about it then if that is the case. But if it's moving 1,000 people or moving 1,500 people, there are season ticket holders maybe in the upper dog or something like that, and moving them out of their seats, kind of like what happened with the terrace view was, like, that's not great. That isn't great either, you know. So I kind of want to see what I get here as well, if that makes sense, or see what people get here as well. But I don't really like talking an awful lot about it because, as I say, it's it's all of our fight if there is a fight that needs to be made there. But what I will say on this is that it's really encouraging what's being said. It's really encouraging what's coming out. It's really encouraging the numbers that have been promoted by both the club and the betting partners that we have, the Betano, should I say, and Adidas. And long may that continue, because that is a really, really fun ride. And I'm here for all the positivity in the world as well. So more money, more friends, more money, more power, more money, more fun players on the field for Aston Villa. So long may it continue. And as I say, if we can keep getting those deals over the line, I think it's very, very important to do so. But I just felt it was the reason that I asked you the question. I felt I needed to say that sometimes I feel fraudulent talking about that stuff because I feel like I'm fighting somebody's fight, and I'm probably misconstruing what their fight actually is, because I'm not there every week.
And that does not mean you're less entitled to an opinion. You're a fan.
100%.
Obviously, there's fans that come in here from all corners of the world. We're all entitled to an opinion.
I knew someone was going to come in with that.
some people will be of the opinion that me and you can't have an opinion because we're in a different country and we're not proper Villa fans. Well, that's your opinion, and we respect everybody's opinion. But my opinion is, right now, the only thing I'm worried about is not the badge, not the sponsorship deal.
Me neither.
Getting over the line into this Champions League. It's winning this Conference League. Because, like, 2024, the year of our 150th anniversary, could be a very memorable year and a very important year in the club's future. And, you know, I'm just enjoying the ride at the moment. It's had its ups and downs. It's had me worried for a while. But for the first time ever, I was in Villa Park last Sunday and we went 1-0 down and I was not worried. Disappointed, yes, that we conceded, but I was not worried. That was the thing.
That's because you were 2 days in the beer and about 4 hours sleep before that. You were numb to a lot of things at that stage. But no, I think you're right. I was sitting beside Brendan Townsend. I saw him in the chat there as well. And we went one down. Neither of the two of us panicked. You know, neither of the two of us panicked. And we were kind of going, right, yeah, we got to go back for halftime. We win this game easy. Like, and that wasn't a cockiness. It was just we saw how the team was playing. We saw how the team has played all year. And that's a beautiful position to be in, because you trust the team. It's great to have trust in your manager and trust in your top scorer and trust in your two centre halves and trust in John McGinn to turn the game on its head and trust in the new signing that's 9 games played in the Premier League to grab the ball and burst forward 15, 20 yards with it and do something and create something. And that's brilliant. You know, that's my overarching feeling coming away from Villa Park is I trusted things I saw on the field and things that were happening on that day. And that's beautiful. It's a really good feeling because it takes the shackles off and it allows you to be a fan. Allows you to enjoy, which is no one pays 45 pounds or 55 pounds or 800 pounds for a season ticket or whatever to go there and not trust what they're seeing on the field. It's always sweeter when you do. And I agree with you, Paddy. I agree with you.
Good stuff.
Anything else to chat about?
We talked about Betano releasing the badge for the club.
The badge we all knew was the badge anyway.
I think so. As I had this conversation with my son last night, because he came in and went, "What do you think of the badge?" And I went, "Do you know what? I've said it on the podcast before. If we're in the Champions League, I really don't care what the badge looks like. I don't care what the shirt looks like. I get to go and listen to the Champions League music. Us playing the best teams in Europe, us getting money into the coffers, and us being successful. So that is the most important thing to me at the moment. Obviously, I have an opinion on the badge, and everybody does. But for now, the most important thing is that the job gets done on the pitch, and we can enjoy the fruits of that next year, because next year is going to be incredible if we're playing Champions League football at Villa Park. Yeah. I'm just buzzing at the moment. And there's a lot to be buzzing about. And the most important thing is that we get the 3 points on Saturday. We get behind the team. I'm delighted this game is at 8 o'clock at night, because I think it's going to be electric inside Villa Park. And I'm not going. And that's a difficult one to take now. This weekend.
Not going yet, Paddy. You weren't going to a couple of games. And I see Mark Wood in the chat there. Martin Emma kind of twisted your arm on Saturday to go to a couple of more games this year. So,
well, one anyway.
Yeah. So far, so good. Yeah. But no, it's as you say, yeah. And everybody who's going to get there at 6:30 is going to, like, that was pretty sweet. That was pretty amazing in the sunshine, you know. And the team will tell you that they got a buzz off that too. And yeah, I think that's nice. Hopefully it does the same trick it did on Saturday. This Saturday, yeah. Coming as well.
Some other big news this week is that obviously Unai Emery signed a new contract.
Oh yeah, I forgot all about that.
Contract extension. Obviously seems to be the first part of this contract extension. In other words, for me, it was just, dear media, shut the fuck up. He's our man. He's here to stay. Fuck off and stop. Take our manager's name out of your fucking mouth, because he is staying at
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Absolute garbage. Andy Goldstein and the like. My God. Do your fucking homework. Understand what's going on with this project and fuck off. And that was the whole purpose of that contract extension during the week. And there was talks that it will be revisited again in the summer, which is great. But everybody who's a Villa fan who understands what's going on here, anyone who does their homework knows that he's not going anywhere. He is not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere this summer. Like Unai Emery isn't going, like, I ought to. You're right, Paddy. He ain't going anywhere this summer, but he's not going anywhere next summer and probably the summer after. There will come a time when Unai Emery won't be managing the team. So this is what I dislike. And sorry I cut you after. I do this way too much. But like, Andy Goldstein is going to be right at some stage. And that's why he's very carefully saying Unai Emery will go to a bigger team when they come in for him. That will happen most likely at some stage in the future, where he will go to another team. And it will be a good team, because he's a fucking good manager. So it's a revolving circle of bad faith argument versus good faith argument. And I see Bardell on TalkSport, and he's having back and forth with Goldstein, and I'm here for it, and I love it. But at the end of the day, Unai Emery, as you said, he's been extended by that year this year. I think that was an option in the contract that they both agreed to, and they're going to look to re-extend it again. So
yeah,
it's fantastic news. But you're right. There is a lot of shitstorm going on. You know, there's a lot of shitstorm going on.
Yeah,
but sure.
You only have to look at what's gone on since he came in. He's got a son playing at the club. They've invested in Real Union in Spain. He has the keys to our castle. I know that's said very loosely, but he has. He chooses who comes in. He chooses. He has brought in all his men. Damian, Monchi, all those guys are all his men. 100% ready to take over for the long term. It's a long-term project. It's what Arsenal should have done with him and didn't. And they lost faith very easily. And here we are, the beneficiaries of it. And, you know, further down the line, if we overtake Arsenal in 2 or 3 years' time and we're the ones fighting for the title. And look, but for 3 or 4 silly, gonna say, games, we could very well be still in this title race. But I'm happy to be where I am. It's huge progress from where we are last season. A world apart from where we were 18 months ago, staying out of the bottom three by goal difference when Gerrard went. So I just felt it had to be said, the lazy journalism. You know, I saw Ty Bracey call him out today, and I just laughed. And that's the way it should be. We should be calling them out. When they're proved wrong, we should be told that they're dickheads. Because if you're not going to do your homework, don't be a fucking journalist. Stupid. That leave that to fans like us to talk shite on on platforms that we don't get paid for.
Absolutely, yeah. We talk enough shit as is. Sure, we didn't even get the day that Chelsea last played right. So we're absolutely okay with that for 100%. Michael O'Brien says here, Emery hasn't stayed at any club for more than a few years, though. This feels different, but I wouldn't be shocked if he went elsewhere in a couple of years. And I'm not highlighting this. I'm highlighting this to make an analogy, I suppose, really. If you think about it, Unai Emery became a manager at whatever age, say maybe he's 17, 18 years into his management career. When I was 17 or 18, I didn't stick around with too many partners for a long period of time. But there comes a time when you settle down with your partner, you stay there forever. And I think things like that happen in management as well. I think that, you know, you find, and someone else said here, you find a home. And look, this may not be his home, but it's feeling feckin' good at the moment. And he must absolutely jump out of bed knowing that he's got a group of players that are moldable to the way he wants to play, that are producing the results that he wants to produce against some of the best opposition that he will have ever faced on a 38-game calendar. Let's not forget, you know, it's arguable. It's actually very, very arguable that the Premier League overall as a whole is in a more competitive spot now than it was when he was at Arsenal a couple of years ago. Even though there is a lot of fodder in the Premier League at the moment, when you look at the points totals, and I don't really look at the points totals because, you know, everyone above 10th place is a very, very decent team, and you don't have that in the other leagues he's managed in. So he must be like he mustn't be able to wait to get his pants on in the morning to get out to go to training, because it must be really floating his boat. And as you said, his son is playing for our underage teams as well. Like, that's, I don't know. There's been lots of managers that have sons play for clubs before, but, you know, the buy-in there, and once again, the trust that our board have in him must dwarf anything he ever had at PSV or PSG, anything they ever had at Arsenal. You know, and they're arguably the two biggest teams he's managed ever. So, you know, fair play. Last time he had trust was at Sevilla, and he did great, great things there. I suppose Villarreal as well, but that wasn't as long.
No. And I do believe you need to find a home. It's like finding a partner. It's like moving jobs. You know, finally you settle on somewhere and you really enjoy it. And you can see nothing but enjoyment in what he's doing. Yes, he's animated and angry on the line, but when the job is done, there's great satisfaction in seeing him smile as he walks away off the pitch. It just fills my heart. It really does fill my heart to see the happiness in him and the way he engages in the supporters. Our friend Ronan Ward sent us a picture of the mood board in the dressing room today. I don't know whether you got a look at it. Did you?
No.
He sent it in our group. But I love the way, you know, the fans are written up there. It's all about respect. All these kind of words used, the things that he says in interviews, that he's obviously saying the exact same thing to the players. And he's such a respectful guy. It just fills me with so much happiness that he's our man.
Oh, I do see it. Yes, I did see that earlier on. There's one thing in the middle of the redacted. I think it says "fuck the Blues," but it's been redacted in the middle of the board. So that's what I'm gonna say. It says, but Kat Cannon makes a great point as well here. You know what'll help? Those nice shiny cup shaped objects. They really help things as well, don't they? And hopefully, hopefully we get to see a bit of silverware come through the doors as well.
Yeah.
Today is, I think that's going to do it for today. For any of you guys who watched NFL, the NFL draft is on tonight, and big, massive Aston Villa fan Josh Norris. This is his FA Cup final tonight. And so I'm going to retire, I think, tonight, get maybe an hour of sleep and get up and watch the draft. I'm off work tomorrow. I get to spend a day with my little man tomorrow, thankfully. And we're going to trot the promenade here in Salt Hill. And I'm going to drink coffee, and he's going to watch me for the day tomorrow, but there is the NFL draft to be watched before that. But yeah, thank you so much, everybody, for watching and for tuning in. As always, if you are a fan of here, if you watch us on X or Twitter or whatever it's called at the moment, and you don't watch us on YouTube, even if you don't want to watch us on YouTube in the future, and you've YouTube, so you're signed in on YouTube, just click on the thumbs up button, like that with the thumbs up, and subscribe to the account. It costs you nothing, but it just really helps kick us out there and get us out to the podcasting world. Thank you so much, Matt. I don't know how I missed that at the very start as well. Flat points for podcasters. It's been a couple of weeks since I caught the live stream. No, superstitious me says I have to stay away. Now superstitious me says I have to stay away. So blame me if things go south. No, you're all good. Thank you so much, Matt, for that. Really, really appreciate it. And I hope everything's going well for you.
If it goes pear shaped, it certainly won't be your fault. Your ultra positivity and a pleasure to have around our podcast. And thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for sure. So we're going to leave it at that. We will be back again on Saturday. We might have a bit of a later team sheet tantrum. I haven't told Paddy this. Might have a bit of a later team sheet tantrum. It might not be at. And if you're not around, Paddy, I'll do it my own. We'll just keep an eye on socials.
We'll talk before then.
Maybe it might be 7 o'clock as opposed to 10 to 7. You know, I'm talking about 10 minutes here or there.
I can start it and have a chat till you come in. So
I have to put my lady to bed because she's a bit upset otherwise.
We might tag each other out as I head to the pub.
I like that. So we'll see you guys. As Dean says, seeing you for the tantrum, and we got to meet Dean last Friday night. And thank you so much, Dean. I have my sticker here. Oh no, I wonder where it's gone. My daughter was playing with the pomegranate sticker you gave me here earlier on today. I meant to stick it on the back of my laptop, but thank you so much. It was great to meet you, Dean. We'll see you again on Saturday, everybody, for the team sheet tantrum. And we will be back straight away after the Chelsea game, win, lose, or draw as well. So hopefully you join us there. Thanks a million. Stay safe, stay healthy, and all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.